This morning I wanted to read this section from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah has something of a bad press. He's a kind of byword for negativity. But as we'll see, that's really quite a distortion of what he brought to the long story of faith. This incident is happening 600 odd years before Jesus was born. So a very old story. And, of course, one that's set for us in English, but as we'll see, was, of course, originally told in Hebrew. So here's Jeremiah's call and commission, or part of it anyway. We think probably he's 18, 19 years of age when this happens to him. It's Jeremiah chapter 1, reading there at the fourth verse. And if this translation is slightly different, you'll forgive me. Now the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I'm only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And I said, "I see a branch of an almond tree." Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." May God bless to us this reading of his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. There are not many jokes in the Old Testament. There's the one with Jonah being spat out of a whale 1,000 miles inland. But apart from that, not a lot. Until, of course, you reach this bit of Jeremiah. Now, I think you'll have to agree the joke wasn't very obvious in what we just read. And when I explain it to you, it won't be particularly funny. But it's important to hear it. It's part of the richness of this story. In verse 11, God asks the newly appointed prophet, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And he says, "I see the branch of an almond tree." And then rather surprisingly, although it didn't show in your faces, God says, "You're right, and I'm watching to see that my words come true." Does that not strike you slightly odd? What do you see? "Oh, I see an almond tree." And God says, "Oh yes, you're right. I'm watching over my people." Now, what I'm going to share with you this morning is something that will break the ice at dinner parties and will be informative to your friends. In Hebrew, slightly an odd language to us. It reads from the back of the book to the front, and it reads from right to left. With me so far? And it only has consonants, so there's no vowels. And the vowels that we now have were added much later. It therefore depends on how you say it. And in this section of Jeremiah, bear with me, there is a point to all of this. Jeremiah, when he says almond tree, says shaked. And what he's got is a letter that says sh, and a letter that sounds like q, and a letter that sounds like d, and he puts two a's in it, and it says shaked, and it says almond tree. Stick with it now. God says, yes, you're right. But he says, shoked. Sh, qu, d. But he puts an O instead of an A. And what you've got in here by the writer is this kind of pun and play on things. Jeremiah 19, 18, something like that, is that's what he sees. And he just says what he sees there. He sees shaked, the almond tree. And God says, well, you're getting there, Jeremiah. You've got the right consonants. But I'm, in fact, already watching over my people in this place. You see shaked. I say shoked. Let's call the whole thing off. Quite a laugh, isn't it? There you are, a Hebrew joke to take home. I wonder, even if you don't think it's particularly side-splitting, whether you can at least sense that there's a, if you like to think of it this way, there's a kind of smile on God's face as he deals with his new young recruit. Jeremiah, the teenager who says, I don't know how to speak, I'm too young, doesn't really sound like a teenager to me. Anyway, this one's a bit different. And he has to be, because ahead of Jeremiah lies 40 years of work. He'd get his full pension at the end of it. 40 years of saying to his friends and his neighbours that their society is rotten, that it's morally corrupt, that it will all come crashing down, and for 39 and a bit of those years, the thing goes really well. The city booms along, everybody makes a lot of money, the church is full, the temple's full, and the whole thing keeps spinning quite happily. And all the time, Jeremiah is saying, yes, 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 but it can't go on. And it ends up, of course, in the disaster which hit Judah and the people swept off into exile in Babylon. But it's a long way off when we read this story. A long way off. And Jeremiah stumbles at the first hurdle. He says, shaked, almond tree. When he should have said, shoked. God's watching over us. And Jeremiah might have said, let's call it off, God, because I don't see what you mean. And I'm going to make a fool of myself. And God might have said, let's call it off, boy, because you missed the entire point. You jump to the wrong conclusions. You see only that which is under your nose. It would be laughable if it wasn't so sad. You say shaked. I say shoked. Let's call the whole thing off. But of course, what you find is that the story goes on and on. And it goes on and on, of course, because of two things. Firstly, the young Jeremiah and then the middle-aged Jeremiah stick with the task of learning to see what God sees. He sticks with the task of moving from what he notices into something for appreciating what God's vision is. He learns to move from shaked to shoked. And of course, God persists with the man who sees only what's under his nose. That's how the story continues. The voice of God to Jeremiah is to look beyond the immediate, to get below the surface, to think, to imagine, to fear, yes, certainly, but to take God's perspective and see how things really are. To move from Shaked, this bit, to Shoked, this overview. To move from the person who can just see the branch sticking out the shrubbery to the point where he can stand back and see that God has good intentions for this place and is already active to bring them through. Now, if you can think yourself into that journey of Jeremiah, that widening out from Shaked to Shoked, I want to try and persuade you that communion is a continuation of that type of relationship. This is a sign here that God calls the calling off off. Here, you see, it's a central physical reminder of Jesus Christ, whose story we continually tell and retell. And all along, the question is asked of those who watch and those who listen, what do you see? What do you see? And there are all sorts of answers, aren't there, that come out from the crowd. Some of them, most of them, are shackhead because they're what they see under their nose, and they are therefore quite wrong. One just sees Joseph's son. Ha! Can anything good come from Nazareth? Shackhead, under your nose. Others think he's the answer to their political quest, their agenda. Shackhead. Others think he's the answer to their spiritual longings, but on their own terms, of course, the renewal of the temple where they thrive. Shackhead. Others call him friend. The guy they get on with, but he's far more. Others will call him teacher. He is, but he's far more. Others talk of Messiah. It's their kind of Messiah. It's the Messiah that they have close up to them in their dreams. They see Shaked. And God is doing Shoked. They see what they know, and God is already doing for them what they cannot imagine, what they will not imagine. And then, of course, the story goes on to tell us that the crowd in the end tire of the man who is not what they perceive him to be, who is not the shackhead, the thing that's under their nose. And they try to call the whole thing off. Now, if confession's good for the soul, I would say to you that I am far more like the young Jeremiah, although not in years, and those critical observers of Jesus. I want to see in Jesus the things that are obvious and close up to me. I want Shaked. I want him to be concerned with my circumstances, my nearest and dearest, my life, my calling, the things I can do, the things I want to do, the things I don't want to do. I want God to deal with what worries me, what's under my nose. And I'm less keen, less prone to being stretched out to that wider horizon, to the people that are beyond the company with which I'm comfortable, to those concerns that would impinge on the way I live. I prefer Shaked under my nose, the almond tree for Jeremiah, to Shoked, this big thing of God concerned with the wholeness of humanity. When the question comes, and maybe you can identify with this, when the question comes, what do you see in the story of Jesus? Do we not all tend to respond in terms of Shaked? That which is here, that which is obvious, that which is close to us. And when God and Jesus seem to have another agenda, there is always a temptation to call the whole thing off. We see Shaked, he sees Shoked, and we can go our separate ways. Communion is, of course, the reenactment of the meal where Jesus sat at table with the one who would betray him and the one who would deny him and the others who would scatter to the four winds and head back home. All because, in a way, they had seen Shaked. They'd seen the things that were close to them. And he did, in the end, Shoked, the overview. And each for their own reasons of anger or fear, we call the whole thing off. And so in this meal, he comes back again today to this, his disciples, and asks of us, what do we see? Shaked? Bread and wine from Tesco? Shoked? Body and blood. What do you see? The familiar old formula? Or Shoked, the taste of what's yet to be. What do you see? Look around you. Shaked, the person across the church you cannot stick. Shoked, the call to reconciliation. Shaked, the one in the same row whom you do not know nor wish to know. Or Shoked, Christ in the stranger's guise, the friend you haven't met. What do you see when you look at yourself? Shaked, the failure, the backslider, the sinner, no right to be here. Or Shoked, a human being in God's image, filled with potential. What do you see in yourself? Shaked, the superior Christian, the one with the inside track, or Shoked, the human being who could live so much more happily if they could admit they had feet of clay. What do you see out there? Shaked, a world going to pigs and whistles? Or Shoked, the kingdom already begun? What do you see out there? Shaked, the spongers, the wasters, the shallow, the superficial, spoiling our community? Or Shoked, people who could be so much more? What do you see this morning? In cup and plate? In stretched out hand? In ancient promise? In the waiting world? What do you see? Shaked, Shoked, almond tree, or overview. This, you see, is a table of the one who calls the calling off off. The one who persists with us because he knows what we can be, what we might see, what we might do. He sticks with Shoked even when we go on about Shaked. This is a meal which proclaims that God never calls the whole thing off. Here we celebrate God's persistence, God's belief in us. Shoked, not Shaked, no joke. But it should raise a smile on the faces of those who too often see the tree when they should see the whole forest. Don't just look at what's close. Look as God looks and see in yourself and in your community and in this beautiful world the the potential that the Creator himself sees when he looks in love.